This program is made possible by the friends and partners of Unspeakable Joy.
The book of Exodus chapter 17, and I'm going to look at one verse in Exodus 17. Then I'm going to look at one verse. We'll flip together in Psalm chapter 60. The book of Exodus chapter 17, verse number 15, toward the end of that chapter. The scripture says in Exodus chapter 17, verse number 15, "And Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nisi." Now hold your place there, and you don't have to turn, but on the screen I'm going to put Psalm chapter number 60 and verse number 4. "Thou hast given a banner to them that fear thee, that it may be displayed because of the truth." In Psalm chapter 60, verse number 4, you can take that word banner and put the word ensign or flag. "Thou hast given them a flag that fear thee." Why? "That it may be displayed." Why does it need to be displayed? Because everywhere that it goes, it's going to represent truth. Wherever that flag is going to fly, David said, wherever the ensign, the banner that God gives, people need to be able to look at that banner and know that where that banner is, truth reigns. In Exodus chapter number 17, Israel has two problems. Number one, they have a water problem. They come to the place called Rephidim, and there at Rephidim, they realize they don't have any water. The wineskins have run out of water from when they were in Egypt. It's run out from the last time they were able to get fresh water, and they get to whining and complaining, Baptist at heart, but they get to whining and complaining on God. And Moses says, "God, these people are going to stone me if you don't give us water." What does God tell Moses? He says, "Moses, see that rock right over there? That rock is going to follow you for the rest of your time in the promise or in the wilderness before you get to the promised land. I want you to go over to that rock. I want you to take that rod that is in your hand, and one time I want you to strike that rock in the side. And the moment that you strike that rock, water is going to gush out and is going to flow forth from that rock." The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, everywhere they went, everywhere that rock went, water came forth out of it. It is interesting. You can get on YouTube when you get home. There's a recent discovery in Saudi Arabia in the Sinai Peninsula. They believe that they have found one of the rocks that Moses would have struck, because they see rivers and channels that have come at the basin of that rock. So they had a water problem. And when they had a water problem, God gave them a rock. They get to the end of Exodus chapter number 17, and they have another problem. This is a war problem. There's a battle that comes up because there's a group of enemies that rise up called the Amalekites. And the Amalekites disdain the people of God. They despise God's people. And they're going to destroy the Israelites. And here's what happens. Moses gets up top over the people of God on a mountain there at Rephidim. And there on that mountain, this is what God tells him. He says, "Moses, take the rod of God that is in your hands, and I want you to lift it up." And as long as the rod is lifted up high, as long as the banner is waving and is lifted up high, you'll have victory. But Moses, when the banner comes down, you are going to lose. So keep it up, keep it high over the people. I'm going to be their victory. And here's what happens. He realizes when the rod goes down, he loses. When the rod goes high, he wins. And God ultimately gives them victory there because of the help of Aaron and Hur. At the end of that battle, God allows Moses to go and to build an altar so that whenever somebody would go by that altar, there would be a name at the base of that altar. And they named that altar after what they learned about God. That's how they would name altars in the Old Testament. Whatever they learned about God is what they would name that altar. So they name the altar in Exodus 17, 15, Jehovah Nissi. And the phrase Jehovah Nissi, it literally means the Lord my banner. So here is what they learned. They learned there that when the banner was up high, what was a banner? A flag, an ensign. When the flag was waving and it was up where everybody could see it, they learned that God gave them the victory. But when the flag went down and when the ensign went down, they realized at that moment that there was defeat. And there they learned that God was going to be the flag under which they marched. And they were used to those flags. In Israel, there were 12 tribes. Each tribe had a flag. They had a standard. They had an ensign. There are flags all over. If you study the Near East, if you study the Far East, if you study the Western cultures, whenever a nation would rise up, the first thing that they would do is they would create a flag, because what it would represent when it was staked down on the ground is where this flag is. What we stand for rules this territory. And what God was saying is, I am going to be your flag. And where I am going to rule and I'm going to reign. And I've been thinking about flags here the last couple of days. And out on my prayer walk yesterday, God began to really deal with me about this. And I've been praying and I've been begging God, what would I give the people? And I got to looking at the news, and one of the big things that's on the news right now are flags and anthems and freedom and liberty. And here's one thing that bothers me. I know some of you are visiting with us, so you'll go ahead and get offended real early in the service. That way you'll get through the rest of it and be okay. Here's what you'll find. I don't know if anybody else is tracking what the dogs are hunting right now, but you understand the news media doesn't care about news. They care about money and selling something to the American people. And here's what I'll find. You know, white people, black people, green people, blue people, purple people, men people, women people, we're all pretty much the same. Underneath of us, we got bones, and underneath of us, we got blood. And what you'll find is you and I, we're not really that different. And isn't it amazing? We can get along on the street. We can get along in the store. We can get along with each other at the Mayflyer. We can get along with each other out and about. But honey, you let the news media start railing and writing and doing all their stuff, they'll get everybody split right down the middle like we're the Grand Canyon. Here's what you've got to understand. At the end of the day, freedom is not the enemy, but that flag is not the enemy. And we think about that flag, and I mean, some people are standing, some people are sitting. I'm not here to get political. I think they all need to be born again, and if they all got born again, we probably wouldn't have the mess that we're in. Let me back up. I didn't feel that they really enjoyed that point quite like I enjoyed saying it. You say, what's the answer? Republicans or Democrats? Green Party, Blue Party? There ain't an answer found in Washington. The answer is found in the house of the living God. And the people of God preach the gospel of God and salvation come. There ain't nothing in old-fashioned Holy Ghost, heaven sent, sky blue, earth rattling, fire breathing, Holy Ghost revival wouldn't change in America. But yet they're talking about the flag, and I've been thinking about a flag. And I've been thinking about the banner. Why is it that people feel so strong about flags and banners? Well, I got three little thoughts. Number one, I'm thinking about the banner that we're all created for. The flag that we were originally made for. What are you talking about, Tyler? What are you referring to? Well, you've got to understand, when God birthed the earth out of the chasm of nothing, and when he took the seed of nothingness and mixed it with the matter of nowhere, he formed what we call today the creation, and he formed the heavens, and he formed the earth, and over top of the heavens and over top of the earth was the flag of God. And he said, I am Jehovah Nissi. And his flag flew everywhere. It flew in the heavens. It flew in the skies. It flew on the sun. It flew on the moon. It flew in the galaxies. It flew on earth. It flew everywhere that God had stepped his feet. And everywhere God put that, he put inside of his creation a desire to be free. You see, down deep inside of every creation of God, not just humanity, but animals desire to be free. How do I know? Why is it that you don't just take a horse out of the wild and climb your little self on the back of it? Why? Because it's not meant to be bound. It's not meant to be in chains. It's not meant to be in bondage. What? It's meant to be free. It's meant to go. Humanity is meant to be free. God created every man and every woman down deep inside in the deep dark recesses of your existence. You were made to be free. Free to do what? Free to choose your own way? Absolutely not. Free to worship the God of eternity. God wanted mankind to be able to worship him without fear, without fret, without sorrow, without oppression. He wanted man to rise up in the morning and lift his hands up to the heavens and say, blessed be the name of the Lord. He wanted man to go and eat a chicken leg. And well, I don't think they probably ate chicken legs in Eden, but just imagine. Well, you know what? Jeff Bezos and Bill Gates are thinking about that plant-based chicken. So maybe it was plant-based chicken in the Garden of Eden, and they get that plant-based chicken leg and they eat that, and they wanted him to raise their hands up to, I ain't eating no plant-based chicken figs. I'm telling you, you bring me a plant-based chicken and you're going to have a garden in your head. Say amen right there. Here's what I'm telling you. It was made in mankind at lunchtime to lift their hands up to heaven no matter where they were and to worship God. The same at supper. Man was created with liberty to thrive. What did God tell them in the garden? He said, be fruitful and multiply. You see, down deep inside of every man, woman, boy, and girl is the desire to be and do more, to grow. Nobody is born wanting to do nothing. Now, you may have been squashed by parents and moms and dads and schools or whatever, but inside of every little boy, inside of every little girl, they desire to do. They desire to go. That's why you ask them, what do you want to be? I have never in my life heard a child that has an imagination. What do you want to do, John? What do you want to do, Bill? What do you want to do, Ted? I don't know what they name kids anymore. What do you want to do? What do you want to do? They'll say something like, I want to fly an airplane. I want to be a baseball player. Mason asked me the other day, he said, Daddy, can I play professional? And there is this innate desire in every person to be and to thrive and to grow. But something happened. Something happened one day where the flag of God was planted in Eden, where God reigned supreme. A foreign enemy invaded. That foreign enemy had the appeal of a snake. He had the appearance of a dragon, but he had the cunning of a trickster. And he came in to where God ruled and reigned, and he slithered in the midst of the night, and he slithered in the dark time, and he came to the inhabitants of that country and said, don't you know that your king is not as good as he says that he is? Don't you know that king is not nearly as gracious as he says that he is? If you'll just go into my kingdom, if you'll just enter into under my flag, everything will be okay. And that day, man made a choice to leave the banner of Jehovah Nissi and to step into a new kingdom. But what they did not realize, our forefathers did not realize, is that when you stepped out of the kingdom of God and entered the kingdom of Satan, you stepped out of the kingdom of light and you entered the kingdom of darkness. You stepped out of the kingdom of life and you entered the kingdom of death. You stepped out of the kingdom of oppression and you entered the kingdom of bondage. You stepped out of the kingdom of thriving and you stepped into the kingdom of being under somebody's foot, being under the devil's foot, being under bondage's foot, being under a government's foot, being under another person's foot. That's why we can't rise and just be whatever we want to be. That's why you can work and labor and do and still not see the blessing. Do you know why? It's because we walked out of Jehovah Nissi's kingdom and we stepped in to the devil's kingdom. But as our Father walked out of the garden that day, here's what he said. He said, there's going to come a day that I'm going to step back in this garden and I'm going to replant my flag. You just tell the devil I'm coming back and Jehovah Nissi is going to rule and reign again. And for 2,000-3,000 years, that's what God tried to do. He did it in Noah when God sent that flood and the devil tried to kill everybody in that ark. There was a message that went out that said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. And he stepped out when Abraham left the Ur of the Chaldees and he said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. And he stepped out when Moses pulled Israel out of bondage in Egypt. He said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. And he walked over with Joshua and the captain of the Lord's host and said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. When David stepped onto the valley of Elah, looked 9'9" Goliath in the eyeballs, he said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. Whenever Solomon built the temple, he said Jehovah Nissi is coming back to town. Whenever Elijah was on top of Mount Carmel, he said, hey, Jehovah Nissi is a coming back to town. And the Old Testament prophets, they did everything they could. They talked about it. They prophesied about it. And one day, God went silent. 430 years of prophetic silence. My God, I feel preaching my soul right now. He said he's on the way. But for 430 years, there was nothing. There was nobody. Until one day, John Wildman Baptizer is down in the River Jordan outside of Bethabara. He looks up the hillside and he says, behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Hey, Jehovah Nissi, he's not coming, but he's already here. And Jesus kept doing it. And one day, Jesus Christ went back up Calvary's Hill, the same place where man fell, in that same location. He walked back up and he had on his back, he had a cross. But in God's eyes, it wasn't a cross. Remember, what did Moses hold up in the wilderness? It was a piece of wood. And Jesus had on his shoulders a piece of wood. He was not just carrying a crossbar. He was carrying the flag and the banner of Jehovah. And Bob, he walked up Calvary's Hill, bloodied and battered with the war that had gone on with the devil. And he marched up that hill. Hey, got on top of that hill and he put that flag. When he planted the cross, the devil thought he had him. But here's what the devil did not realize. When he put Jesus on that cross and the cross in that ground, he lifted up the banner and did not say anymore, Jehovah Nissi's on the way. Here's what he said. He said, Jehovah Nissi is here and Jehovah Nissi is here to stay. And today I preach a gospel of liberty. I preach a gospel of resurrection. I preach a gospel of sins forgiven. I preach a gospel of life. I preach a gospel of resurrection. And you're here today and you say, I have that longing in my soul. I have that longing in my heart. How can I be free? Look to the cross. Why look to the cross? Because there on that hillside where the loving Lamb of God, the captain of our salvation, the Lord of hosts, the Lamb of glory, the light of God, the hope of eternity, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Lamb of all lands, the God of all gods, he planted the flag and says, look and live. But now for 2,000 years since the cross, and when the Romans fell, man has longed for a place where they could be free. Which leads me to the second banner that we're under. It's the current banner that we live under. You see, man had longed and man had hoped, would there ever be a place where I'm free? Would there ever be a place where I'm at liberty to love my God, serve my God, thrive again? And on July the 4th, 1776, 56 men signed away on a document in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. They signed away their life. They signed away their riches. They signed away everything for one cause. And that cause was the cause of freedom. And here's what they did. They said, we are willing to give away. We are willing to risk life and limb so that man may have a place where they may be free to live. They may be free to thrive and they may be free to worship God. And in that place, they said, we must have a symbol of what we're trying to do. And that symbol was symbolized, of all things, a flag. The flag has gone through changes, but the current flag, set up in 1960, after the final state was annexed into the Union and voted into the Union, it was made by the Congress and said, it has reason and it has symbolism. He said this flag is to represent the truth and the freedom, and we'll put upon it symbols. There'll be three colors that go on that flag. There'll be the red, there'll be the white, and there'll be the blue. There'll be 50 stars and then there'll be 13 horizontal stripes. The red would symbolize the valor and the blood of patriots that would have to die in order for freedom to stay free. It would represent the blood being spilled upon foreign battlefields of young boys that were willing to leave and young women that were willing to leave mother and father and say, I'll answer the call in order to keep my nation safe. The white stands for purity and innocence in a nation that was meant to be a place where innocence would be assumed, and innocence, instead of having to answer to a king, the king would have to bring his charge to the people. And then the blue would stand for the justice that would stand with Lady Liberty, and the justice that would be equal and free for all, no matter how rich you were, no matter how poor you were, no matter how this or that you were. The stars would represent the 50 independent states, but they picked stars for a reason. Do you know why? Because at a distance they are separate and they are small, but the closer you get to them, the closer you get to them, they get bigger and they represent something greater. And here's what you'll find: one star by itself cannot do much, but you get a whole bunch of stars together and you'll light up the dark sky where wayfaring strangers that cannot find the light of the sun, they can look at the stars in heaven and find their way home. The white and the red are 13 stripes representing the 13 original colonies, but they run horizontal, and the designers did that for a reason, because they represent the rays of the sun. They emanate from the stars, and the stars represent the individuality, but together they light up. Ladies and gentlemen, it was a privilege. It was a blessing. It was an honor. The day that we were blessed by an almighty God, we could have been born anywhere. We could have been made anywhere. We could have come anywhere. I could have been born in Red China. I could have been born in Russia. I could have been born in Singapore. I could have been born in England. But I thank my God. I thank my God. God that He gave me the privilege to be birthed in this nation. And now here you and I are under the flag of the United States, where we have been blessed, where we have been privileged, where we have been honored from the day of our birth to come up underneath it and to have its glory, to have everything that it represents draped around us. Now every day that I live, I get to live under the blessing of this flag. Every day that I live, I get to live under the power of this flag. Every day that I live, I get to wake up, and because of what this flag represents, I'm under its authority. I'm under its power. And today, do you know what I got to do? I'll give you a little glimpse of my day. They all look about the same now. I woke up this morning, whatever time I wanted to wake up, there was not an alarm bell that went off from some Capitol building somewhere. I was free to get up whenever I wanted to. I went on my prayer walk unafraid that anybody would hurt me. You know why? Because there were people that were serving in uniform, and on their side, on their arm, was a flag that looked just like this flag that said, I'll do my duty to protect you. I'll do my duty to stand on my tire. And today, all over the United States, all over the world, there are men and women that are draped in camouflage, and on their shoulder is a flag that is just like this. And do you know what they're saying? They're saying, I'm willing to stand on the guard. I'm willing to stand so that my brothers and my sisters and my mothers and my fathers can go to the house of God. This morning, I'm free to worship God. I'm also free to do whatever I want to do. Do you know why? Because of the liberty, because of the blessing of this flag. You know what I can do today? It does not matter what my mother or what my father was. It doesn't matter if they were jailbirds. It does not matter if they were in prison. It doesn't matter if they were poor. We don't live under a caste system in the United States of America. I can work as hard as I want to work. I can do what I want to do. I can make as much money as I want to make. I can buy whatever house I want to buy. I can go with whatever car. Time out and let me run myself a rabbit on this little trail. Is it not amazing that the people that are lecturing us about how unfair society is, go get in their $250,000 car and go live in their $500,000 house and get to live with their servants and with their butlers and with their cooks and with their chefs? How about somebody on the cheese line? You know why they're not complaining? You know why people in this building aren't complaining? I'll tell you why. Because you're people that know that if you'll work hard enough, and if you'll do just enough, and if the mighty omnipotent hand of God will touch you and help you, you can be whatever the flip you want to be. You know why? Because of a flag. We're free to be, free to live. But there's a problem. The problem is this. Everything this flag stands for is only powerful if the truth it represents is still in control. Do you know upon what foundation this flag was birthed? Out of the foundation of thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart and with all of thy soul and with all of thy might, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And in 1950, and in 1963, and in 1972 and 3, a group of people got together and said, we no longer need the basis upon which this flag is built. Right now, if I go to your house and I rip out the windows, your house will still stand. I can rip off the roof and your house will still stand, but if I go and attack the foundation, she will fall. Do you know what happened? Every day of your life, the reason that people have been mishandled, broken, and unjustified is because there is no foundation anymore. When you don't have a God that backs up what something stands for, are people mishandled? Sure they are. Are people abused? Absolutely. Is there injustice? Absolutely. But it's not the flag. It's the foundation. Child of God, today, here's what people are doing. You see, the enemy is sly. He says the problem is the cloth and what it represents. The problem is the fabric and all that it represents. The problem is not the cloth. The problem is not the fabric, but we're getting disillusioned. And we're thinking that there has to be a better system. And young people, middle-aged people, and old people are attempting to throw away what has stood for a system which has proven to be poison. A system called socialism. A system called communism. Child of God, here's the problem. The problem is God did not intend for you and I to be draped in only one flag. You see, today you don't go to heaven because you've been draped in one flag. You see, there's another flag that you got to come under. There's another flag that flies today. And it was founded at bloody Calvary. Remember, Jehovah came and he stamped his flag on bloody Calvary. And see, today there are men and women and boys and girls that are in America, and they think that America is what's going to bring them joy. They think that America is what's going to bring them life. They think that America is going to bring them hope. America is simply an avenue whereby you can seek out the God of heaven. It's just an avenue where you are free to worship the truth and free to worship the God of the truth. Do you know what God planted that day? Symbolized in a flag. It is what we call the Christ of eternity. And this flag has the real colors. This flag has the true colors. It's red and it's white and it's blue, but it's what it represents that makes all the difference. The red that symbolizes the blood, not of martyrs and not of patriots, but of the great God and Savior Jesus Christ. It is of the blood of the eternal Lamb of God that you get forgiveness. It is of the blood of Jesus Christ that your sins are washed away. It is of the blood that you are forgiven. And today, no matter what you are, where you've been, when you get under the Lord Jesus Christ, there is not man or woman, there is not white or black, there is not free, there is not bonded. There are simply those that have believed and those that have not believed. There's blue. Blue is the color of heaven. You see, that is our home. That is what we aim for. That's what we live for. But the majority of it is white. Because today you may look at me and see a crazy man. I'll hand you that. You may look today and see a man off his rocker. I'll hand you that. You may look today and see a nut. I'll hand you that. I may be a nut, but when I was a 16-year-old boy, I found the right bolt to get screwed on. And his name was Jesus Christ. Now today there is a movement going across the church in America that says if you're really a soldier of the cross, you must remove your allegiance to a nation. You must remove and denounce your citizenship. Ladies and gentlemen, you do not denounce the blessing of God. You do not denounce that which God has privileged you to be a part of. But you got to understand, it's not this flag that'll take you to heaven. It's not this flag that's going to get you in that eternal eternal city. But I'll tell you what happened that day when I was a 16-year-old boy at the back of the Vandalia Baptist Church, Bob. I knelt down and I said, Lord God, would you forgive me of my sins? And about that time, I felt another flag come over my life. And this time, this flag wasn't draped across my shoulders. It was wrapped around my life. And here is what I am now. Everywhere I go, I know what it means to be blessed by God, to be an American, because at the end of the day, I am not just a patriot in this nation. I'm a patriot in another nation, and I stand for the God, and I am an ambassador of Jesus Christ. And when I feel like I can't go any further, I get glorious headquarter news, and it gives me reassurance, and it gives me blessing, and it gives me hope. And if you're here today and you've never been born again, I'm not talking about you've been to church. I'm talking about the fact you have never one time, oh God, never been born again. You've never bowed your head in repentance and said, God, forgive me. Here's what you'll find. You'll find that if this flag gets wrapped around you, you can be in communist China and still be happy. You can be in red Russia and still be happy. Or honey, you can stand under the red and the white and the blue and have this flag draped around you and wake up every day and say, thank God I'm an American. Thank God I'm a soldier of the cross. Thank God I've been born again because I got wrapped in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's what I found. I'll be 36 years old on my birthday. By the grace of God, I'll be 36 years old. And if I could confess something to you, I'll confess it. I learned something new about God all the time. Just when I think I've arrived, I fall. And when I fall, I learn something new about Him. I got married. I got married to my one and only wife. Is that the only one you're going to marry? Lord God, I hope so. You know what I realized, Cindy? I realized when I got married, if I draped her in this flag underneath, that didn't cure what ailed her. But on that day, that I said, honey, there's a new flag gonna be stamped at this house.
Yeah.
You know what I realized? I realized that this flag was big enough not just for me, but it was big enough for who was with me. And here's the blessing. Everywhere I walk, I'm living, breathing proof that Jehovah Nissi has come down and He stamped His approval. Now here's what you got to understand. Everywhere I walk, everywhere I talk, I do it under the banner of Jesus Christ. Therefore, it's not my job to protect me. It's His job to protect me. It's not my job to protect her. It's her. It's God's job to protect her. It's not my job to make sure she's clothed and fed. Thank God. It's God's job to make sure she's clothed and fed. Do you know why? Because when I brought her under this flag, I put her under the authority of the man that is in charge of this flag. And if your family's not been born again, today could be the glad day. He's still in the household salvation business. And here's what I'm finding. Every day I walk, every day I live, every day I breathe, I keep the flag. I keep Christ at the center, wrapped around us. But something happened in 2010. Our home expanded. Our home got a little bit bigger. And on November the 18th, 2010, we had a little Tyler Jr. Where is he? Bring it on, son. Come here. Come here, boy. You know what I found? You know what I found? I can't protect him like I want to protect him. Stay right there, son. I can't shield him like I want to shield him. I can't be everything I want to be to him. You know what I realized? This flag's big enough for him too.
Amen.
And so when he was just a little boy, I took him and I put him on an altar somewhere. And I said, God, I can't change this boy, but I'm giving you this boy. I'm putting him under the banner of Jesus Christ. And the God that was big enough for me, and the God that was big enough for her, and the God that was big enough for our home, he's big enough for him. So every day I wake up, I make sure that they stay covered. I make sure my home stays under the banner. I'm glad we're all Americans. Yes, I am. I'm glad we're all Americans. Yes, I am. I'm glad we're all Americans. Yes, I am. But at the end of the day, being an American is not what's going to help my family. Being an American is not what's going to change my home. It's going to be being under the banner of the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh, God, he's big enough. But then something happened. What year she won? In 2013. Is that what you said? 2013. On October the 23rd, I know that. On October the 23rd, my wife came to me after church one night. And she said, it's happening. It's coming. We ran to the hospital. We went to the hospital. And we got up to the hospital. Stay right here. We got to the hospital. We got up there. And the doctor said, I can't stop it. I know she's 4 or 5 weeks early, but I can't stop it. And out came a little girl, 5 pounds. Pick it up right there, boy. Pick that flag up. 5 pounds. Come out looking like a butterball turkey. And we named her Ella Faith Golden. Come here, Ella. But this one was different. We couldn't hold her. They had tubes running her nose. They had tubes running down her throat. They had oxygen meters all over, taking her blood. Stay right there, honey. And I'd go in there at night, and here's what my flesh wanted me to do. I wanted to say, God, this ain't supposed to happen to us. We're Americans. I'm a preacher. This ain't supposed to happen to me. And God said, that is not what you need to wrap your child in. And I said, God, I'm not big enough. I said, God, I can't wrap them. I can't do it, Lord. I'm too little. And the burden's too big. He said, you can't. But I can. And that night I left that hospital. And when I left that hospital that night in that 1998 Toyota Avalon, 1:30 in the morning, I'd left that hospital, Bob. And I said, God, whether you take her or whether you leave her, we belong to you. Your flag is stamped on this house. And God Almighty began to move in the middle of the night. You know what I realize? The flag that was big enough to cover me and the flag that was big enough to cover her was big enough to cover us all.
Yeah.
Now we're going to go that way. Now I have many fears in my life. We have children and I I fear what the world could do to them and what the world has in store for these children. Yeah. Child of God, today, this flag isn't going to change anything until this flag gets wrapped around them. And maybe you're here today. Thank you. Maybe you're here today. Step here with your mama, boy. Step here. Step here, son. Maybe you're here today and you say, "Preacher, what do I do? I've never been saved. I revel in a lot of things." You know, for some people, it's not an American flag. For some people, it's a religion flag. For some people, it's a baptism flag. For some people, it's a wealth flag. Doesn't matter what the flag is. If it's not Christ, it doesn't matter. You say, "How do I get under that?" Are you ready? How did I get this flag? I got born into it. How do you get this flag? You get born into it. How do you get born? With repentance in your heart and faith to believe. You say, "God, God, I confess my sins to you. And I ask you to forgive me." And I want every Christian to begin praying right now. There's a battle about to take place between God and the enemy. Right now, let's be as still as we possibly can. The holiest moment of this service is about to take place. You say, "Preacher, I want to be saved. I want to be saved. What do I do?" You call upon the name of the Lord, and thou shalt be saved. With faith in your heart, believing that Jesus Christ and His blood can wash you and forgive you. You say, "Preacher, I want to do that." Here's what I want you to do. You do it in your heart. But this morning, you're visiting with us. You're a member. You're a church, whatever it is. You say, "I want to believe in Christ. I want to trust. What do I do?" You pray and say, "I want to follow Christ. I am going to follow Jesus Christ." We're going to sing in just a second. Austin's going to go grab a microphone. I want us to sing, "I Surrender All." Here in just a moment, they're going to begin singing. We're going to stand. And if you say, "Preacher, this morning I want to follow Christ. I want to follow Him. I want to ask Christ to forgive me." Here's what I want you to do. When we stand, I want you to step out of that pew and I want you to come down and kneel at this altar. I want you to kneel on this altar as your sign, as your public confession saying, "I want to follow Christ." You say, people will think, doesn't matter what people think, it only matters what God thinks. You see, that war going on inside of you is the devil trying to keep his flag planted. And God is trying to replant His in your life. You say, "Preacher, I want to follow Christ." In just a moment, we're going to play. We're going to sing. And you're going to step out of your pew. Now, Father, win the battle. Get glory. I'm depending upon you. In the name of Jesus.